I just changed it a little bit there, and the thing is, the one which we kept down as a G in front of it, the one that I dropped, we dropped, because the difference between the one I kept and the one I dropped is a total derivative. So if you're dropping total derivatives, then there's no difference between F and G. And so if you calculate physical things, it will only really depend on combination G minus F. So if I tie it up now, so I just kept the ones that no access for them, and I just, I don't know why this, that's the, I'm going to just write this D. Oh, I know, that's D, this is C. I'm going to help you wonder, right, C here. That's the most general thing we can have, where we drop, kept only the Lorentz scalars, and we drop total derivatives. So now, on our list of things we want to do, we've got it, it's quadratic at most, it's Lorentz scalar, it's permission, so we want the, so S will be S star, so L will get L star, and H will be A star. If A is real, B is real, C is real, G is real, given that I've made phi real. It's also true that these C's and G's are symmetric matrices because these phi's commute. And so if I have an anti-symmetric part here, we're just going to drop out this one anyway. So there's, so we can choose as a C is satisfies this and G GBA will be a loss because the field's commute. So we've built in everything except for 4, which is boundedness from below. So one way to think about boundedness from below is to think classically. You know, quantum mechanically, if we're in a semi-classical limit, then the properties of the spectrum of the Hamiltonian are going to be related to the classical properties of the energy. And so one way to think about the energy is that just ask classically, what do you have to ask of A, B, C, and G to make the energy bounded from below? So if we do that, we have to figure out what the Hamiltonian is, so let's do that. So if I write this in terms of phi, grad phi, and phi dot, mm-hmm. time derivative, space derivative, our Lagrangian was, let me call it minus V of phi, all kinds of double derivatives. That's what I'm calling it. And then this is the stuff with derivatives. So, and remember, this is got a metric in it. So it's got eta mu, d mu, d nu. And derivative downstairs, if d mu phi was the primitive thing, it was d phi, d x unit. And x comes with a label upstairs. So if I want to think of this in terms of time derivative, so d0 phi is d phi dx0, and x0 is time. So this is phi dot. Whereas it's a time when, with the metric dimensions I'm using, maybe we knew, remember, minus 1, 1, 1, 1. It's time is the one you have to be careful with. I just want to keep track of whether or not B upper mu or D lower, D upper 0, D lower 0 is phi dot. So D lower 0 is D X upper 0, X upper 0 is time, so that's phi dot. And the space derivatives are D, I, phi, is just the space derivatives, that's just grad phi, I. In terms of that, what we have here is we've got so d mu phi d mu phi was minus phi dot squared plus grad phi squared. That's what we're looking for. So if I use that here, that's why there's minus signs here. That this becomes plus 1 half g to b phi dot a phi dot b. Minus 1/2 red by a red. If I just written that with this explicitly. And I do that because I want to build a Hamiltonian, and I'm supposed to do that by calculating the momentum. The canonical momentum is the derivative variation of the Brownian effect of the phi dot. But here, that'll be, the twos are conventional now. I put the twos in there because I'm going to be doing things like differentiating, and so I'm going to pick out the two when I differentiate, because I can differentiate that for that one. DAB.B. So if I were to solve this for phi dot B would be GBC phi C, where this G is the inverse matrix. So my notation will be like you would do for a metric. If I have GAB matrix multiplied by GBC, I should get the unit matrix, which is delta AC. And then if there's a sum over B, we can repeat it. So, if I ask for H, Hamiltonian density was, remember, it was pi, which is pi dot, summed over A, times L. It's the canonical way of getting from the Lagrangian to the Hamiltonian. So if I plug that in here, you can see that pi, phi dot, it's just really, there's several ways to think about it. You can think of it as just being GAB phi dot squared. And I'm going to subtract 1 half GAB phi dot squared, so I'm going to get 1 half GAB phi dot A phi dot B plus, and everything else is not wrong, time derivative just gets a minus sign, so that's why these minus signs are useful to have. Got grad phi. And if you're a purist, you'd say, I'm supposed to write this in terms of the momentum, not the velocity, so I should really write this 1 half. So if I use this expression, the upper AB, pi A, B.
Are you still missing the GAB part, the 1 half grad?
Oh, you're right, yeah, thanks. Anyway.
Before you give me, there's that 1 on top 2, so you need to do it. You're missing a GAB on
top. Okay, so 2 for 1. Okay, you can nick one of that. Are you done? So we want that. What we're interested in is this is the functional of phi, classically. So we want this one evaluated at all different kinds of field configurations phi to always be bounded to below. We don't want to have h go through arbitrary negative values. And so at the classical level, that's a statement about these coefficients. So for example, if we specialize to configurations which are constant, so they don't depend on time or space at all, then these terms are zero, and then the energy is just controlled by V. And so then we're asking, in that case, for constant fields, then V be bounded to flow. So, fields, d phi 0, h phi then becomes just d phi. If we want that to be bounded below, then what we have is a quadratic form. We have a plus something linear plus something quadratic. You know, for a quadratic form, the condition for something to be bounded below is that the coefficients of the positive pieces have positive definite. So we have to ask, this is bounded below. We can only have matrix C, AB is positive definite. That is to say, all phi values are positive. So C, AB, phi A, phi B, we want that to be bigger than equal to 0 for all phi A. So all the eigenvalues of C to B should be non-negative. So it's non-negative, I guess. Positive. So C we know is a symmetric, real, non-negative definite matrix. But these coefficients A and B are arbitrary so far. Now let's take configurations which are not constants. So given that this is true, we can now turn on configurations which are, they could be essentially zero everywhere, but then we can put a spike in the field at one spot, say, and then we'll do that in a time-dependent way. And if we do that, then the only thing we're going to see in this energy is the gradient term. And we can make this gradient as big as we like by making the variation of that spike as big as we like. But we can make this term be negligible by having phi be zero everywhere except for an extremely narrow window. And this term we can have zero by having it be time-dependent. So we want this thing to be positive. And we can also look at configurations which are time-dependent and space-independent, which are zero for a long time, and they turn on very quickly, and then they turn off again. And we can make this one the most important thing. And the same argument will show us that this G has to also be a... If we want everything to be positive, then G has to be a non-negative definite matrix. So, similar argument. More quickly, variant fields. And what I'm going to actually do is, I'm going to really ask that it be positive definite, because it's logically possible you can have fields for which there's no energy coming from spatial or temporal variations. But I'm just going to exclude that case by hand. I mean, if you did that, you'd have to, as a free system, that would be a difficult system to think about, so I'm not going to think about it. So I'm going to exclude. It's not impossible to have it physically, but it's typically it's the boundary of a set of values for these g's. Exclude the case gab as a zero parameter. This is just a simplicity and it's just a number. So in that case, we've imposed our four brotherhood things, and we've learned that the A's, B's, C's, and G's are real. C and G are symmetric matrices. They're both non-negative definite, and I'm going to make G positive definite by something. And that's it. So anything that satisfies these has these properties should be an acceptable free theory. So any choice of real A, B, A, and symmetric positive or non-negative CAB and GAB satisfies all our criteria. So this should be the things that describe particles. You can find a collection, an arbitrary collection of free spinless particles. And you can kind of see it as a puzzle here, because on the one hand, the Hamiltonian we're aiming for, in terms of creation annihilation operators, was simple enough, right? The Hamiltonian we had in terms of creation annihilation operators, you know, we were aiming for something of this form. C, interval, D3P, EP, A star P, A P, or E had a parameter, didn't it? Because it was B squared plus N squared A. So there was a parameter here for every particle. There was a parameter here. So we, for N particles, we had N plus 1 parameters. Whereas over here, our wish list gave us, you know, 1, N, if we have N fields, and then 1 half N, N plus 1, fields here, or numbers there. And so there's obviously many more numbers in this list than there's in that list. So one of two things is true. There are reasonable physical systems which are non-interacting, which satisfy our motherhood list, which are not described by free particles in that sense. four, not all of these parameters are physical. And the resolution is that the second option is true, that not all these parameters are physical. And that's just, and that's because we haven't really, there's a freedom we have to use which we haven't used yet. And we've written this thing out as if the assumption these things are all physical, but assume that it makes, that there was some physical observable which depended on them. But we really only are identifying them as coefficients in this, when we're writing the Lagrangian terms of these fields. But there's nothing special about these fields. If you give me a set of fields, I already use the freedom to redefine fields in complex fields that I can real, take the real and imaginary parts. So I can take linear combinations of those fields, and I can shift fields phi plus a constant. And it's all those things are not going to change in physics, because the change of variables can't change anything physical. These fields are variables which are describing the physics that's really going on in the real world, and whatever's going on in the real world doesn't care about what variables we use to describe. So the changes of variables will not change the physical implications of this particular Hamiltonian. And the final claim I want to make is that if we do, by making an appropriate set of changes of variables, we can remove all but n plus 1 parameters that we've made these and these coefficients. And those remaining n plus 1 parameters are the ones that you expect to find over there. So we really have equivalent descriptions here. And it's useful to do that, because if we just calculated energies and the spectrum of the Hamiltonian we got, and this without making the special change of variables I'm going to give you, we would have found there was only n plus 1 things in the problem. Because we would have found that we could have written H not in that way. It's just the n plus 1 things would depend on specific combinations of these A's, B's, and C's. And you're never learning any more than n plus 1 combinations of A's, B's, and C's. And there's no physics that can tell you what the rest of these A's, B's, and C's were apart from those n plus 1 combinations. So you might as well use the freedom to redefine your fields to get rid of all the variables in that Lagrangian which are not describing physics, but are just describing how you chose your fields. And identify explicitly in the Lagrangian what are the things in here that correspond to the physical things you should be able to choose, the vacuum energy, the ground state energy, and the masses of the particles. So that's the last step, is we want to use the freedom to do redefinitions to put the Lagrangian into what's called canonical form. In a canonical form, it will have n plus 1 parameters in it, and those will correspond to the masses in the vacuum energy. Yeah.
How did you exclude the case where G needed a zero eigenvector?
By hand.
Okay.
I just said.
That would imply a gauge transformation, because then the matrix for phi is not in vertical. At the moment, you can't define the velocities in terms of mass.
So then we have to decide, I mean, normally, where I'm heading, the reason I'm explaining it by hand is that I'm really thinking of this free thing as being a limit of a non-interacting thing, in some approximation, it's looking for like free plus a small change to it. And so in that situation, if you really had an energy that didn't depend on one of the fields, phi dot, then typically the interaction will depend on phi dot, and so that just means you have to work in that particular direction of field space. You have to work just accurately enough to tell what the energy is doing. So it's kind of an issue that you can't decide based on what I'm looking at. If this was really the theory of the world, then it would mean that there was a direction of field space for which there's no energy cost and not gradients, and so you should expect that gradients like to form because there's no barrier for forming. So the reason I explain it by hand is that I'm thinking of it, this as being a limit of the interactive theory, and then that's not a very common limit, because typically the energies do dominate, do appear to be in gradients, and it's a kind of very special situation to have no energy cost at the leading order and have energy costs come in at higher orders. But it's not impossible to have. Particularly in condensed matter physics, because there's all these roughening conditions where people spontaneously acquire gradients, and then they're stratified, things like that. But it's a special kind of case, you don't normally think about this thing. So let me write the transformation down, and then maybe pick it up in the afternoon. Or actually, let me just kind of write the transformation down, and then we'll pick it up in the afternoon, and we'll find this one. So I'll pick it up there in 3:30, and they may not have tried.